Welcome to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White. I'm Hardy White. Join me now, won't you? As we testify to the power of love and the power of being together. Oh, I'm so glad that we can. So sit back and relax and imagine that you're in a glass room. That's me in my kitchen right now, talking to my dogs and having a Pop-Tart. How is that possible? You're talking to me, Hardy. Yes, I'm doing two things at once. I've trained myself to do this. You know how some people have a mind palace? Well, I also have a mind palace, except mine is full of mind servants, and they're in other rooms doing things for me, like talking to the dogs or having a Pop-Tart. Why I need someone else to have a Pop-Tart for me, I do not know. But I suppose if they're in the kitchen, they have to do something. What room am I in that I'm speaking to you? Well, I'll let you figure that out. We're going to give you just sort of clues. So look at your cards. You have a wrench. You should have a pipe. What kind of pipe is it? I don't know, man. It's whatever you put in it. It's up to you. I don't care. And then you'll have a list of rooms, like what's the one with all glass? I'm going to think of it in a minute. It's all glass. The glass room? No. The alcoholic room? No, it's not. There's not glass in it. It's made of glass. The glass room? No.
Welcome to the Around the Island Boat Tour. I'm Hardy, and this is Captain Butchie at the helm, and that's Lou in the back there. He's got waters and sodas and snacks, and he's the man to see if you fall overboard, because he's also a lawyer. No, I'm kidding. He's got the life vests, though. And for those of you who feel self-conscious in a vest, we also have life jackets.
Lifesavers, though.
What's that, Lou?
Lifesavers.
Why don't you come on up here? We can't hear you.
I was just going to say, we got lifesavers, too.
I thought you were going to say something important. Captain Butchie tells me that we are underway and ready to start our tour.
I didn't say squat, and we've been underway.
The island is a mysterious place. As you well know from being here, it's not entirely clear where we are or how we got here. That's interesting enough, you ask, but what about why am I here and can I leave? Well, there's one sure way to leave, so keep your arms and legs and any other body part you'd like to keep inside the vessel at all times. There's big attack balls in the water.
There's mating pair.
What's that, Lou?
There's mating pair.
Come on up here. We can't hear you.
I was just going to say, there's a mating pair.
Again, it always seems like it's going to be apropos of what I'm talking about.
No, you were saying there's water balls that eat people, and I was adding that there's more than one. We have a mating pair, and Lord knows how many babies they've had.
You have to have them.
What's that, Captain?
It takes giant balls to have an elaborate prison island for your political enemies. Butchie, I ain't playing your game. We're getting out of here. You can't escape the island. Watch me.
Big white assassin ball at 7 o'clock.
What's that, Lou? I'm switching on my own mic. There's a big assassin ball at 7 o'clock.
Oh, well, it's only 4 o'clock, so we got loads of time.
No, he means it's
I know what he means. You can't outrun it. I don't have to. I'll just press a button.
It's gone.
Butch, how did you do that?
He's number one.
Well, I'm glad you think he's so great, but Butch, how did you thwart the sentry system?
I mean, he is number one. Like, I'm number six, and you're number, like, 158. It's his prison island.
Butch, you run a prison island for your political enemies. No, I don't have any political enemies. It's for people who slight me at the grocery store. For instance, you can see I'm trying to get at the tomatoes. and you're blocking the tomatoes and standing there fondling the tomatillas or something with plenty of room to let me at the tomatoes, but instead, you arrogantly and with utter disregard for others stand there like King Produce Zetzing. I'm going to drop these people off at the pirate restaurant, and then I'm going to go dock at my aunt's condo. I need to use the restroom and warm up this coffee.
Hey, y'all. While we're docking at the restaurant, I'd like to keep you entertained with some sea shanties. How y'all doing this evening? Oh.
Mrs. Blanc, looking good. The Johnsons, all right. Hope you're well this evening. And it looks like someone has scrawled voodoo symbols on the register grave. All right, well, hopefully that's something that y'all requested. I'll check on that.
Testifying next before our committee is Mr. Hardy White. Mr. White, the microphone is yours.
Have you no decency at long last, this vast wasteland? Thank you, Senator. Would you mind if I just killed the crowd sound a little bit? I'm having a hard time concentrating.
You do what you have to do.
Thank you, Senator. I will. I think it just, that sounds better, doesn't it? And it's better for me. I can hear my own thoughts. I have been invited today to sit here before you and speak before this august body. What a fantastic body it is. If I told you you had a great body, would you put your own self-interest aside and work for the interest of the country? I am on radio, and I don't know if I'm here today to justify my own radio show or all of radio, and I don't know if you all pay for it. Do you finance radio? I don't think you do. I don't know why I'm really here having to justify what I do, because I don't think you sanction it. You allow people to go on the radio. You have to go through the government before you can broadcast. You sanction that and also about a dozen official religions. And those that aren't sanctioned by the government are not recognized, and you can't perform any of the religious ceremonies if you don't go through the government. That just seems fair. And so the government also regulates the airwaves and say, we're not going to let you broadcast over that frequency because actually my garage door opener is using it. So I'm going to regulate what you can and cannot say as well. For instance, a lot of times on my show, I want to say, hey, there's so many words for excrement, but there's one particular one I just think would sound great right here. And I can't. And I think that's a small sacrifice to give that up because I have a larger mission. Ladies and gentlemen of the Senate or the House or whatever, or committee, I don't even know. Maybe it's just a church committee or something. I wasn't really super informed about who I would be speaking before. I was told who I'd be speaking before, but I thought that meant that that person would be speaking after me. You see what I'm saying? This has happened to me a lot. Say, you're going to be speaking before the Kiwanis. I go, wow, there's a lot of them probably. And then I realized that meant that word also meant an audience. You're before them. You're in front of them. It's like a line. I am in front of you at the line at, let's say, I don't know, Michael's or something. Buying a frame. It's half off. It's always half off. It's always half off. When is it not? Oh, I am so lucky to be on radio and to have a voice here before you, this committee, who is judging me for what I do. And I don't think you can unless you understand something very fundamental about what drives me. There is a number, 1944, 1944, you might say. And yes, that is a year, I believe, Hogan's Heroes. But it also is my weight, 194.4. I have been that weight occasionally. My weight fluctuated. It fluctuates so much. You know why? Because my will does. Sometimes I have the will to run and diet. Other times I see a donut and I say, what is life worth? What's the point if you can't occasionally, or in my case, regularly or hourly, have a donut and indulge yourself. And I guess my message is, hey, everybody is special and nobody is special. The world was made for your sake. And you are but dust and ashes. I was told this by a famous rabbi. Actually, I wasn't told it. I read it. I read it actually in a moksor. What's that? It's like a siddur, but for the high holy days. What are you talking about? Hardy, are you testifying before this committee about the traditions and other things, Judaism, theology? Is that what you're here to talk about? Am I? Did I mention it? If a man starts to speak about stamp collecting, is he not speaking about philatelism? If a man speaks about coin collecting, is he not being numismatic? It all depends on the language we use. Now, I cannot sit here and say that without radio, this world wouldn't be better. It probably would. Why? Well, there would just be a lot more room. If all the radios were gone, you would have, every once in a while, you'd have probably a cubic foot or maybe less of new room to do something in, to put a shoebox in or something like that. Say, once there was a transistor radio there, now it's gone. Now there's room for one of those small individual servings of cereal. That wouldn't have been possible if radio was there. Now, radio might have been invented by evil people. I don't know who made it. A lot of people say, oh, the Nazis made it, and they were going to use it to have Nazi shows. Really? And maybe they did a little bit. But that doesn't mean the thing itself is bad. You see what I'm saying? Just because it was made by very, very evil. One of my favorite, I love certain candies. I love candies. Like we mentioned Lifesavers. But do you know they were made by Mao? Mao Zedong. No, I don't think that's right. Now I feel like I'm spreading lies. A lot of my show is jokes. Let me explain to you what the 1944 stands for. It stands for words. Okay? I, one, literally, nine, don't. Four, no, I literally don't know. That is the guiding principle of my life. I don't know. I think I know some things, and some things pan out. I'll read the instruction on how to put together a bookshelf, and I'll follow it, and it turns out that that's pretty much how you put together the bookshelf. And I will then be confident in my knowledge. But I have a feeling deep in my heart that this shelf won't really hold books. Why? Because it's very cheap. And as I was putting it together, I realized that the material wasn't very strong. And I could not, in good conscience, put some of my porcelain books on there that are very fragile. A lot of my books are made in Ireland by Balik. And they're very fragile. And I didn't want to put them on this because I had a feeling. Sometimes my feelings inform me better than my knowledge. All right? Like I just had a feel. I was looking at a sign and the sign said Falling Rocks. And I just had a feeling that that was a dangerous place. Now in this case, they coincided, the knowledge and the feeling. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes I'll just think, I'll be talking to somebody and I say, I have a feeling that I've seen that person's face on an FBI wanted poster at the post office. Now that's where you get mixed up because turns out that was only a feeling. It was at the driver. It wasn't at the post office. It was at the driver's where you get your driver's license. And this person, I guess they'd done a bunch of murders all over. Did y'all see this story? Did y'all see this story about this fellow is running around killing folks? I'm serious. I know. I can't relate to it either. There are so many things in life that baffle me and confuse me. And that you all are sitting there, you have so much power, ladies and gentlemen, of the Senate jury. The Senate Jury Bureau. I don't know what you are. I'm not the Draft Bureau. I'm confused. I really, literally, do not know. I know that's too many words. You say, well, what's your weight now? I told you it fluctuates. If I had the willpower now, It'd be a little low. You'd say, you look skinny. I know, I'm actually totally in control of my life because I'm allowing myself to be uncomfortable now so that I don't experience pain later. I'm trying to plan because I know when I have that, when I eat all that food up and stuff, it's probably going to come back to haunt me. And I do care. And I do care because I always think I'm going to die to get out of stuff, you know, and that has been a financial and emotional plan in the past. Say, oh, I'm just going to go ahead and rack up some credit card debt because, you know, I'm feeling not super optimistic about the future, so it probably won't even get here. And then, man, it just relentlessly keeps getting here, and I keep having to pay it off. And so now I'm thinking, hey, just plan that the future is going to get here, and then what's the worst? You'll be mildly disappointed, but you might not be in debt. That's what I'm saying. Now, I know that I might have veered off the subject a little bit, and people say, Hardy, you have a hard time sticking to what you're saying. If we were to be taking a road trip, you and I, let's say we're driving across country, let's take Route 66. Route 66? No way. I have issues with George Maharis. What kind of issues do you have with George Maharis? First of all, I'd like to remind everybody that he was on the show, Route 66. That's where other voice guy gets that. So you don't even want to take this road. So if there was something happened on I-95 or I-75 and there was a show or something, you'd never travel on those roads. Listen, this is my business. Okay, but I wanted to take a road trip because I wanted to demonstrate that a lot of the fun in traveling is allowing yourself to wander. If you just stay right on the interstate, you're not going to see anything. And if you just get off the interstate a little bit, yeah, they build those hotels just for interstate travelers. So you're not going to see anything different. You really have to go off the beaten path. And I say beaten path because people on that main road get beaten down. You think, oh no, it's the path that's beaten. No, it's the walkers that are beaten. You got to get off that path sometimes. See what else is out there. It's not just the journey. It's the journey. It is, no, that's got to be a better saying. God, I walk past that on the fridge magnet every day and I still can't remember it. Something about journey. Blah, 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 blah. It's the frig, I'll just destruct, it's the fridge magnet with the picture of Xuanzi or Lao Tzu or something, one of those Taoist masters. And which is it? And it's got a little thing that says, it's not getting there. No, no, how's it go? It isn't, getting there is not the point. It says, getting there is and isn't the point. However, the journey, which is how you get there, that's not literally getting there. By getting there, I don't mean arriving. I mean the process of traveling. What are you talking about? Listen, let's get out of here. Let's get out of here. This is what I'm talking about. Let's just wander. I'm so sick of these tours. They're so restrictive, right? We're walking around in this group. Don't tell me what to see. Don't tell me what's Louis Couture's. I want to just walk around and look at stuff. I want to walk up to a painting and ask a question and not have anybody tell me the answer necessarily. Doesn't mean I'm not curious. It just means, please, let some things linger. Let my questions linger in the air like a fragrance. I know you thought something stinky at first, but that's not the way I think. When I say, something's high, there's an odor lingering in the air. I'm thinking, like gardenias? And saying, I was thinking about something. No, not that great. Yes, but, you know, some odors are nice. Some do persist. I like when people wear too much cologne and then they leave. And that's just always the right amount of cologne. Them not there. Them were there, but not there now. Sorry, I'm speaking. I'm going to do some of the show in Pigeon. I think I left out some words there. And I don't always like to include all the words you think I'm going. Sometimes I just make sounds. Say, how could a show that's mainly speaking be compelling if they're just sounds and they're unintelligible? Well,
go back and examine your original premise. It cannot. But it can be lots of other things. You might not become edified by my words, but I think you will become moderately comforted. How so? I don't know. Let's say that I've always said this, but I'm like one of those candy striper ladies or pink ladies at the hospital. Clearly, I'm not a doctor. Clearly, I'm not a nurse. But I will provide some level of comfort, because at some point you might need your pillow fluffed, or you might need a magazine or some ice chips, and I want to bring them to you. Why would you bother to do that, man? I'm doing that because kindness was one given to me once, all right? I was allowed to make mistakes. I was tolerated when I was foolish. I was forgiven when I was sinful. And I am so thankful that I am still loved. So important is love. So vital is love. So nourished and sustained am I by love that I imagine that others are too, and that I have an obligation then to at the very least use my limited skills and what really just amounts to desire and intention to say, hey, I know that things are rough, and I just wanted to say that I'm with you. I understand that. And you deserve to be loved and helped just like everybody else does. And I know that. I'm sorry. It doesn't make you unique, but it makes you awesome, right? It's like being in a special club or something. You don't have to be unique to feel special. You are unique. Right? But you don't have to be the only one. Don't you want to share it with everybody? If I said, listen, look at this wonderful place we're at. Yes, oh my gosh, but there's millions of people here. There are millions of people here. Aren't you special and unique? It's so fun. Yes, but those others are here too. Let them enjoy it. Can't we all be like that? Amazing. And what was I talking about? I think I was testifying about something. Are you all going to revoke something? Are you all using some pleasure? Or are you threatening us? Now, why would you do that? So I'm going to take away something that gives you pleasure. I'm going to take away something that sustains you and gives you hope. I'm going to take away something that comes to you. I'm basically going to take your teddy bear. Why would you want to do that? How does my teddy bear deprive you of anything? There's a notion that somebody else being happy uses up all the happy or something. It doesn't. My happiness, if I'm not taking something of yours, there's enough for both of us. You don't have to be winning. You know, I don't have to be losing for you to be winning. We can all be doing all right. It isn't. Races are great, and somebody has to win and lose. But the thing is, not everything's a race, and not everything is a game. And certainly life is not a game, because nobody wins, really. And at the end, could you speak up for us? I'm sorry, I was getting dramatic, and it makes me inaudible. Why is that? I don't know. I like to think that I've lured you in closer to the radio. If you want, there was an ad, and it said, if you want to get somebody's attention, whisper, like that. There was an ad. And now this seemed a little meta to me, because they're not whispering. They were saying it loudly. They were paying millions of dollars to broadcast it loudly on TV, and then saying, if you want to get someone's attention, you whisper. But that's not what they were doing. It wasn't the whispering that was getting the attention. I think it was like sexy lips going up to an ear. If you want to get someone's attention, show them about to like lick an ear or something, and then call it whispering. Do you follow me? I only follow you, Hardy, in the sense that you are before me, that you are speaking before me. Ah, ha, 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 ha. Remarkably witty, my friend, that you remembered that thing that I said earlier and then used it against me. Just as if I had dropped a dagger and you picked it up and you said, sir, is this yours? As you plunged it into my, I don't know, lower back or abdomen. I don't know where you're going to hit me with that dagger. Where you're going to stick me? You're going to stick me with it? Are you? Hardy White. I'm Hardy White. Oh, my goodness. I'm not locked in here with you. You're locked in here with me. That's from Watchmen. I'm not Rorschach. You look at my face, and it does change a little bit. So where's the beard? I shave it sometimes. I got skin problems. Well, you should grow it back for those very reasons. That's why it keeps coming off and on again. Oh, you're catching on. I'm sorry. I should wear all this on a message tee. There's some things I should explain. That way you wouldn't be all wondering like that. I had a coworker like that. He goes, I'm wondering, what's with the beard? I go, what? Because sometimes you have it and sometimes you don't. I said, oh, man, I just feel like it. I wasn't going to go, oh, yeah, I got this skin thing. And sometimes my skin hurts and I got to get, like, cream right on it. And I got to shave. And then sometimes it looks so bad, I will grow the beard back so that people don't think I got big blotches on my. He didn't want to hear that. He thought I was some kind of. He wanted to hear, oh, I'm a pretentious hipster. Because I think he'd already didn't like me. And he wanted just me to confirm that for him. So I did. I confirmed it for him, and I said, I don't know, man. I doesn't it look hip? I want to fit in. I don't know what I said. I was a little bit hurt that he was making fun of my appearance. I don't think anybody wants their appearance made fun of, do they? Nobody wants to feel ostracized, because then that's one less person that you feel like's on your side, and you're at work and go, man, do I have any allies? Or is it just me? No one wants to feel like that. That's a terrible way for any creature to feel. Creatures don't like to feel alone like that. That's scary. And I don't want to be scared. I don't want to scare other creatures because, man, they tend to overreact. They get bitey. And I don't want to do that. So, oh, I don't want to scare you. What do I have to do to not scare you? I'll just put on a funny clown face. No. That could backfire. Don't do that. Okay. I don't know what's funny. Ever try to make someone laugh and then fail so miserably that they hate you? Hi, I'm Hardy White. Welcome to being anywhere in the public eye. If you do that, that's what's going to happen sometimes. You want to give somebody something, they're going to get just the opposite. I'm sure it happens. Do you ever give out something? I'm giving out candy. Everyone will love me, but diabetics. See, there's always going to be something. I'm giving out laughs, but not everybody thinks you're funny. I'm trying to move hearts. No, you're just annoying some people. Well, if it can't be universal, what's the point? What? Really? Something doesn't have to be universal. Don't you want to help just some people? You can help some. You're saying if it doesn't work on everything, you don't want to bother. You can't write a song everyone loves. But what if you wrote a song that five people really super loved? I got nothing but super love for you. Nothing but super love will do. I got nothing but super love for you. Nothing but super love will do. Is it really necessary to drop bombs on children? That's a song I wrote called Super Love. And I put it online one time, and I think a dozen people liked it. And I was ecstatic. Why? Because a dozen people liked it. I maybe made a dozen people happy. And I know that we live in a culture right now that disregards that, disregards the individual. And say, if you're not a million, if you're not part of a group of a million or 2 million, I got no use for you because I've already counted you. I've counted you. I mean, when I look at this, say, oh, look at 100,000 people like that person's tweet. Okay, go and thank them now individually. You can't. And you don't even know who liked it. They're just strangers. They're just numbers. In my life, I can go, oh, Jesus, Katie liked that. Tom liked that. That means a much more to me. Because I'm not trying to turn everybody into a dollar bill or something. I still need souls. I still need complete humans. And those are who I care about. And I would love to care about strangers, but I can only do that theoretically. And then I can deeply care about some people that I know, and then I can infer the rest. I can say, you know, if I love these five people in my life, I can totally imagine that other people like their five people, and that there are other people that are just like my five that I've never met. So I don't have to know them all to know they're worth loving. Are evil people worth loving?
I am on a small radio station, being moderately entertaining with zero qualifications, and you've asked me a question that the great minds and the great artists and the great thinkers and the great theologians for hundreds of years have not been able to answer or cope with, and you're asking me because somehow I should be able to reduce it to a bumper sticker when others couldn't through volumes and volumes of writings and sermons and everything. I don't answer questions. I don't make monkeys, I train them. I don't make clothes, I wash them. I don't make shoes, I repair them. I don't repair shoes. I'd love to, though. I'd love to learn how to do that. If anybody's willing to teach me, I have a very short attention span, and by the time you remind me of this and arrange lessons, I will have forgotten and moved on. However, it excites me to think about learning something new or doing something like that or being somehow in the service industry. But it's something neat. I don't know. That's just my little thing. I like to think. I realize that I'm probably taking a lot of your time. Senators, representatives, what are you? I don't even know what you like to be called. I know a lot of you, you all say you were elected and all. But you don't know all your constituents. The people you know are the people that gave you money. You know, that's in your mind, that's your constituents. I know that. I'm not trying to put you down. I just know the reality of it. That you don't really, nobody really represents me. And I have to assert myself. If I want to retrieve my rights here, I'm going to have to take them. Nobody's going to give them to me. Because that's not how you see it. You don't see them as deserving. You see it as something that is meted out like prizes at a video game arcade. They're tokens. You're supposed to win them. And I say, no, no, no. No, no, no. My human dignity is my birthright. My human dignity is my birthright. I'm sorry. That's the way I feel. And thank you. If you feel that way too, I want you to come to my house of worship. And I'll give you the address right now. It's everywhere and anywhere. And there's always going to, I'm sorry about this, there's going to be donuts involved. You don't have to eat them. No one's going to make you eat them. But the way I look at it, if you just do that donut one day a week there, just do your church donut. And then during the week, don't. During the week, do oatmeal. And then have your Sunday. If you don't do church, have a Sunday or Friday night, your Shabbos donut. I think there's, I'm trying to think. Most donuts are not a treif. I don't think they are. There's a shrimp bacon one. And there's one, hey, be careful, because there's one that has eagle in it. And you say, people get real confused. They go, eagle, I don't know. Is eagle kosher? It's not. I'm pretty sure it's not. I went through this because I wasn't going to serve eagle. It's just something happened and the eagle. Anyway, it's an awful story. It's an awful, awful story. And not everything, not all those, not all creature stories, what do you call those, wildlife. I don't call them wildlife because some of them are not, to me, are just kind of not very wild. I've seen people are wilder, crazier, than some animals seem very conservative to me. Not wild at all. Some very timid, you know, the little chipmunks, they're not wild. They move quickly, but basically they just like go out, shop, go back with family. I'm that way too. Go out, run out to the store. And I feel that way. I feel like a chipmunk when I just run out to the store. I go, something's going to get me. This is the chance. Between now and the store, that's the chance that the owl is going to swoop down and take my life. I have an owl that lives in my tree sometimes. I think it's a screech owl. And the other day, boy, there was a commotion. And I looked out there and there were, I don't know, I'm just going to say maybe 7 crows and maybe up to 10 blue jays. All of them screaming in this tree where the owl usually lives in a hole. They were going nuts, all of them. They were having a cross-species scold. That's how much this owl must have screwed up. Lord knows what he did, whose baby he ate. But he's a bit of a baby eater. I love him, but he eats other creatures' children. And they get upset. And they'll, what they'll do is they'll form sort of vigilante gangs and go looking for him.
And they don't really do much more than just scream at him, but what are they supposed to do? You know, he is a baby eater. Who knows what he'll do? And that commotion went on and on, and I went out there and I went, oh my gosh, y'all are being complicated. I love you all. I can't believe I'm out here looking up there and I'm loving the crowd and I'm loving the baby eater. How is that possible? That must be how, if there is a God, that has to be how God looks at it. Well, I love it when planets blow up. On the other hand, you know, it's just, I must be conflicted in a way, or just maybe above it all, so far above it all. But I'm not. I'm attached like you, friend. I love. Oh, and the love, it's sometimes painful. I don't want that attachment, because when the love pulls, when the love separates, it rips something out of me. Oh, because we're, so, you know, we're connected by flesh, it feels like. And so when that flesh tears, it's tearing, that feeling of tearing flesh. Oh, you're scaring me, heart. Oh, I don't mean to scare you. I do and I don't. I'm not against scaring. I like controlled scaring. You should be scared a little bit to understand that, you know, things are, there is a degree of scary that goes on. And some of it you just got to be kind of inured to or used to or just ready to be scared. That's all. You know, it's not like you're not going to poo your pants. Just wear the poo underwear. Be prepared. Understand that. And then you'll be a little better off. You still get scared, but your laundry bill will be lower. I'm trying to help. I'm trying to help. And if helping is, if I can be, expose myself. I mean, that did come out right. I always say that. When I open my heart, wear my heart on my sleeve, I always unfortunately use the expression to expose myself, which has horrible connotations. But I do feel nude, and not in a good way, sometimes. I feel stripped of the things that I use to protect myself, to cover myself up, to make myself seem not vulnerable or silly or stupid. There's expectations that people have of me as an adult that I should feel a certain way or know certain things, you know. And I know from my fellow adults that they also feel like, a lot of them, like frauds. Now, there's a handful of them, my friends, that are like judge pilot doctors who are extremely confident that they can tackle anything, and they're right. But we're not all that, and thank goodness for them. But not most of my friends can't, like, remove your brain while they're flying a plane. So, you know, we struggle. And I know your struggle, and that's why I just want to offer up a radio hand up. Am I still testifying? I don't know. Am I still, Senator, am I still on?
Continue.
I wasn't sure if you were listening.
I'm not listening, but it's all going into the record.
All right, it's all going into the record. You know, we got to remember that the things we do seem to have no effect, but they're all going into the record. Everything is going into the record. Everything does have an effect a little bit. I feel like I'm not really part of the tug of war team. Are you on tug of war? I'm on tug of war as a sport at school. Oh, that's great. I don't feel like they need me. Well, what position do you play? I'm number 4. All right there in the middle. But everybody counts. Do they? Yes, because you add up all the weight and the force, and if that's what counts, if you weren't there, you know, they would miss you. And so you have to be there, even if you're not doing all the work. They need you. We need you on the tug of war team. And besides, you're fun. We're used to you. Your face. When you see it, it makes me happy just to see people I know sometimes. You walk into a room and you light up, and there's, for a few minutes before you talk to them and you're reminded of all their shortcomings, there really is a feeling of ecstasy when you see a familiar face. You know, you say, oh, it's Pete. Pete is here. Which Pete? It doesn't matter. I know a couple Petes. I'd be happy to see them all. Pete's here. And then you talk for a few minutes. You go, I feel caught up. But still, that initial feeling is so wonderful. I like that. I even like the feeling of being, you know, all right, now I feel like I got my Pete fill for a while. That's even a great thing too, because that means that I'm all topped up. My tank is topped up with love. I got it, and I got bonus value points. So that's great, man. I'm living the life. I'm doing okay, and I'm mostly doing okay because you're with me, friend. If you weren't sitting here with me, I wouldn't be doing well. What we do is a cooperative effort. We do it together. You know, you tell me what's meaningful to you, and I think, yes, that is working. That is what people need to hear and want to hear. They want somebody to reach out. It doesn't matter if you've been doing this. Oh, I've been doing the same thing over and over. Is that okay? Yes, it's fine. It's fine. You go and you're reminded. People need to be reminded of what's important. They need to be reminded of a couple of things. And I think the two things they reminded of, one is that you deserve love. But I think other people do that too. The thing that I think I bring to the table is this idea that you don't know squat. I don't know anything you don't know. You know a lot less than you think you know. That you're seeing and a lot less than you think you are. You're perceiving so much less than you think you are. You're processing it in a way that you're mostly guessing about what's going on. Anything that seems coherent, you've predetermined to be coherent. That's why it is. Otherwise, you would be just, oh my goodness, just a mess drifting in a universe untethered in space, floating. The only thing that gives you substance is gravity. You are pulled towards others. Otherwise, you would be just drifting, lighter than a feather, lighter than a piece of dust. But the gravity pulls the dust together into a big, heavy dust ball and finally into a planet. Oh, it pulls it all together. We need the weight of one another as we come together and just put together like one of them. What's Optimus Prime? What is like a transformer, right? Is he? An Opticomicon? A Snobdeconicon? And some kind of Autocomicon? And also the Power Rangers come together to be a bigger mecha Power Ranger thing, right? Am I correct? Ladies and gentlemen, of the thing that's judging me? And so I stand before you today in a seated position asking you, please, don't give up on radio. Don't give up on human communication. Don't give up on outpourings of the heart. Don't give up on art that seems different than your expectations. Don't give up on the spoken word. Don't give up to listening to the human voice. Don't give up on patience. Don't give up on long-form things. Don't give up on the things that are confusing. Don't give up. Don't give up on any of those things. Insist. When the Antique Roadshow evaluates something, they eschew polish. No, man, I did not mean that as a pun. That's like shoe polish. I totally, honestly, I will swear before a court. I'm before a court. I didn't mean that as a pun. They eschew polish. That's so funny. I didn't mean that. They like the original patina. All right? Not the other person who came in and played patina when the first actress died. But the original patina, they like that. They like things to have wear. They don't want them to be cleaned and polished and everything. They want them to look like they've experienced something. They want them to be distressed or at least display the evidence of past distress. That's what they want. They want something with character. You have character, my friend. Look at you. Look at what life has done to you. My gosh, it's left marks on you. It's left little chunks out of you. That's all. You've been beaten around and battered and confused. You've been taken advantage of. And you know what? And deep down, that all happened to a little kid. No wonder things are a little messed up, right? Imagine a kid doesn't know how things go anyway. And then you throw into all this other stuff confusion and fear. Try to figure things out in the midst of all that confusion and fear. Tell a creature their life is at stake now. Figure it out while you're trying to survive. come up with some ideas about why it's all happening. You say, I don't have time for that. It's all I can do to be fed. It's all I can do to be clothed and survive. I don't have time for philosophy. I don't think animals have time for philosophy. My philosophy is keep going, I think. My philosophy is just keep going. My philosophy is go towards pleasure and away from pain, I think it is. My philosophy is to return this great feeling of love that I've been given. I feel it. That's it. That's the purpose. Now, I think we're all done here, and we finished early, and I think we should all go to the cafeteria. Is there not, ladies and gentlemen, at long last, a cafeteria in this establishment that we are, as by U.S. citizens here, enabled with certain inalienable rights, that we are served lunch at a specific hour, that we have to us available, wrapped and preserved against the elements, sandwiches that we may ingest and sustain pleasure and energy from them heretofore. Thank you. I hope all of this is going in the record. The person transcribing it, bless your heart. I don't know how you're doing it. I know that I don't, a lot of my manner of speech is what I call ignorant. And it's a type of, we now know it's a legitimate type of speech in a way to be. It's ignorant and inarticulate. People get a lot of credit for being articulate, but being inarticulate sometimes takes a lot of, I have to work at it, you know, because your inclination is, oh, I should say a word there and not go like that. But by gosh, everybody's using words. And they use them so judiciously a lot of times, and they'll use them with such care, and they're so scripted, and I throw them out like they're worthless. But at the same time, I know that words have immense power and value, and they are precious and worthless at the same time. Does that sound familiar? You are but dust and ashes. The world was created for you. Mr. Ash, Dusty Ash, Ashy Dust, Dust Off, really? Really? The world's created for me? Yeah, it was. That's why it's called Ashland. No, I think that's the Henry Clay Estate. Okay, Dustland, no such place. All right, the world, the universe. I feel like all the senators and congressmen have left. And I know they do that sometimes because I've looked at C-SPAN at night and there'll be somebody giving a speech and literally everybody is gone and they stand before no one. They're before no one. And they're really giving a passionate speech. They're saying something that's important. And I think, what is this all about? They're not speaking to, does no one care? I don't think it's about that. I think they're only pretending. Someone's pretending. Even the listeners are pretending to care or the speaker's pretending to care because if there's no one there, there's a lack of concern about what's being said. And so we cry out to no one often. We plead our case. The most important thing in the world to ourselves in the world, our case for being alive. And then he realizes nobody's listening. And that I say to myself, I'm on the radio. I'm on the radio and I could call out to the universe and plead and ask the universe, why am I here? Who am I? Am I worthy? And everybody could hear me doing it. And on one level, it would be humiliating. And on another level, can you imagine if those people didn't realize that others were pleading with the universe, that we were all lost, so many of us lost and lonely. And they heard that. And they didn't feel as alone. Imagine that. What a miracle that is. That's a miracle. I wanted to go on the radio and make miracles. And miracles are, by definition, a rare thing. So it's not going to happen to a lot of people. It's not going to happen frequently. But when it does happen, that's amazing. and it's worth it. And someday, you senators will decide that I've got nothing to say anymore. And it's time to silence me and take away my voice. And I think that's fine. I think that's fine. Because I've said what I needed to say. And somebody has heard it. And it's meant something to someone. And it doesn't have to happen all the time. No, no, no. Let me explain how it works. Miracles are rare, and when they do happen, it's great. You need to set the stage for them. But it's sometimes a once-in-a-lifetime thing. And maybe you think that you're going to get this payoff all the time, but you might not. You might be crying out every day for nothing. Oh, people who fish know this. People who do things that require patience. Yes, I must wait to kill something until it offers itself up. Yes, I know. But maybe fishing wasn't great if you're a vegetarian. But some other things like that. Photographers. That's it. You're waiting for just the right shot. And that gypsy moth, that emperor moth, that vampire moth has to come just the right time and suck on that flower at just the right hour. And you've got to stay there so you can get the shot. But if you got those all the time, who cares? If everybody had them, oh, yes, I got the vampire moth eating the gypsy lily. I have a picture of that. How could you? It's so rare. Oh, how do I recognize things that are rare? They've got blood dripping. Just like a steak, if you got blood dripping out of you, you're rare. Yes, oh, yes, you are. Yes, you are. There's the kind of, some people say, how do you like your steak? They say black and blue. That means they got black seared on the outside and rare on the inside. I don't know where the blue comes from, but that's what they say. That's the expression. It might be in another country, it might sound better or something. If you say it with an accent, a heavy accent, or you say it like this, you go rawr, 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 like that. It sounds better. I don't really believe that I'm actually on the radio. I'm just sitting here by myself. I think that sometimes. I think there's not anybody listening. And that would scare me to death if there were. I have a difficult time talking to one person. What are they thinking, right? What have I said something? I find it difficult to make eye contact a lot because if I make eye contact, I start reading people's reactions. Oh, and I immediately feel so self-conscious that I've said something. So if I thought there were actually people listening to me right now, I might be devastated. I wouldn't probably be able to handle it. I am not that strong an individual. I'm not confident at all. You want to destroy me? Any one of you could. Any one of you are clever enough to take me down with a comment, even if it was stupid. You could right now, if you were to type to me, you're a stupid, stupid head, I'd be, yes, I would be wounded beyond your wildest imagination. You have that power. You have a complete power over me. So there you go. How about that? That's scary. But I have to acknowledge that you might feel that way too, that I might have that power over you, and I don't want to use it ever. There's no point. I'm just going to take the Elder Wand and break it and throw it over the side. I don't even think anybody should have one. So I'm done. I'm not going to use it on you. If you use it on me, that's your choice. But I can't use it on you. I can't do it. I've felt anger to the point where I feel like I could harm somebody. I've felt that. I never want to feel that again. I don't. It's okay. I still feel anger, right? I still get it sometimes. But boy, I realize I gotta, you know, mow, like I yell, mow Larry the cheese, and they bring me the cheese and I feel better. I know what I gotta do to end it. You know, it's natural, yes, and it can be productive, yes, but it can also be a controlling demon. You've got to recognize it. You have to have respect for things. Respect fear. Respect anger. Respect love. Respect the power of all these things. Acknowledge that. Don't underestimate them. Don't underestimate people. Never, never underestimate any of the people.
Could we get you to speak up, sir? I'm sorry. I know. I did it again. It's the sound of the human voice. It's very special to me. Like the way that you can do things with it, make it sound like other things. I could sound like a motorcycle, vroom vroom, or a bus, or my neighbor's generator. I can do some other sounds too. My neighbor's parrot, after my neighbor's been running its generator for a while. There's all sorts of sounds out there, and I'm sure a lot of children's authors have pointed this out. Oh, I love the sound of backdoor keys. There's one right now. I hear that. It's subtle. But I like to point these things out, too, for the children, and not just the children, but you, adult children. And by adult children, I mean you're living with your parents. That's okay. There's no shame in that. I know lots of people who live with their parents. Sometimes their parents are dead, which is, it's an interesting situation, all right? Because with my one friend, they're mummies. So there's a degree of acceptability there, right? Say, well, my parents are mummies. They live with us. But they're also, when they're not with us, they're traveling in a museum, in an exhibit. So that makes it less weird. But when they are home, people come over and they say, oh, I see that your deceased parents are staying with you. So yes, when they're not, they're really busy though. They're crazy. They're busier now than when they were young, and they're just dead, preserved, dried out corpses. Isn't that? Life takes you in all sorts of strange directions, doesn't it? It's taken my life has been all over the place. I started out when I was 3 years old on radio, and since then it's gone all sorts of different crazy directions. No, I never was on radio. Oh, what a dream. I thought it was Rosemarie for a minute. I'm not Rosemarie. I don't think there's going to be a documentary about me when I die. I hope not, but maybe there will be, or before I go. That would be great. Could you just get one made? I mean, if you weren't important, just there should be a service like that, like a Make-A-Wish. And pretend you're making a documentary about me, and then maybe you have a little bit footage to put together before I go, and I can say it. Well, it's not completely edited, but we know that you're not doing well, and then you could see it a little bit. No, that's nice. Nope, I don't want that because it'll sentimentalize my life. I like to keep going. I don't want to look back. And that's when you climb, don't look down. Because you get dizzy. Just keep going. Just imagine there's always more to climb. That's what I do. I just keep going. I don't know. I actually don't know. But thank you for inviting me into your life to say that. To say two things. I love you and I don't know. You are listening to Miracle Nutrition. Try again. You are listening to Miracle Nutrition on WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, 91.9 in New York City, New York, and Rockland County, New York, and online worldwide at WFMU.org. Thank you, my friends, for joining me. It has been wonderful, a wonderful visit, and I will see you all again next week.